Amen. If you turn in your copy of God's Word now to the Psalms, we'll continue our study, which we've been taking somewhat of a break from, and the Songs of Ascents. Tonight we'll be reading and opening up Psalm 128. Should be on page 613 of your pew Bibles. Let's give attention to God's Word, Psalm 128. A Song of Ascents. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Amen. Please be seated. Would you pray with me? Our Father and our God, the Psalms are such a blessing. We thank you for giving them to us. I thank you in particular for these songs of ascent. And now, Father, we pray that you would open our eyes, that you would open our ears tonight, and we would hear you, that you'd use your servant tonight for all of your purposes, that, Father, you would preach to us as each one has need here tonight. For each of us have different struggles, Father, with sin. And so we ask for teaching that you would indeed help us, that you'd guide our hearts tonight, fix our minds on Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. In Matthew's gospel, the Lord Jesus delivers a parable, which we might know as the parable of the talents. Master was going away, and he gave out talents to three different servants, money of some sorts. And the expectation was that they would take this money, these talents, and use them in such a way that there would be a gain for the master as he comes back. And if you know the parable, we see the first two responding to the master as he returns. The first one, who had been given five talents, shows his master that he had gained five more in addition to the five he'd been given. And the response from the master was, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And the same response was for the one who had been given two and had again doubled that for the master as he returns. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." We see these two servants doing the will of their master. And as he, the master, returns, they are blessed greatly. Not only presently, enter into the joy of your master, but then the master says, "I will set you over much in the future as well." A present blessing, a future blessing, as a result of doing the will of their Lord. Amen. But the one who merely returns the talent given to him refused to do the will of his master. And as a result, he does not receive a blessing, but cursing. It's a good entry for us into this psalm tonight. This one of the songs of ascent. We started this study back in August 2021. We're continuing it tonight. There are 15 psalms or songs of ascent. The King James calls these songs of degrees. Four of them were written by David, one by Solomon. The rest don't have a human author identified within the psalm itself, and that's what we have tonight. There is no identification for us as to who the author is. And we don't really know exactly what these psalms were used for, or these songs were used for. Some have thought that the exiles, those in exile, those who had been taken away from Jerusalem, used them in exile to remind themselves of how they used to go up to Jerusalem, up to worship. Some thought that these were used by those who were actually headed to Jerusalem on the three feasts of the year. They'd be singing these songs of ascent as they journeyed to Jerusalem, and some thought that maybe as those ascended up the, 15 stairs to the temple, that they would be singing these songs as well. Whatever the reason, whenever they were used, there's this sense that these were all about worship, all about God being the central focus, and all about the joy associated with being in a relationship with God, and reminding one another as they sang these songs, these psalms, of their relationship with this one living and true God. Tonight, in this Psalm 128, I'd like us to see very simply that the Lord blesses all who serve Him in fear. The Lord blesses all who serve Him in fear. We'll see that in 3 points tonight. The blessed, secondly, the particular blessings or the individual blessings, and then finally, the universal or the corporate blessings. As we begin, I want us to just think a little bit about what it is to fear the Lord. We have so many different ideas, so many different concepts about what it is to fear God. In truth, many of us have a very limited or insufficient knowledge or understanding of what it is to fear God. I think the majority would say if we went out on the street corner and asked, what is it to fear God? They would say, well, it would center upon His wrath. Fearing God would be focused upon punishment. The fear of God might relate only to the coming judgment if they were even able to speak of that. While true, this is a very limited and narrow view of what it is to fear God. We have such a difficult time with fearing God because we ascribe to it a negative idea, negative connotation, something that's not good. But the Bible doesn't do that. In Scripture, the fear of God is a positive thing, certainly for the faithful, for those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. While knowing of the coming judgment, the fear of God does not center upon fear of punishment or receiving the wrath of God. The faithful know that Jesus Christ has taken the wrath of God. He has drunk the cup to its dregs. There will not be a single drop left for those who trust in Christ on the day of judgment. So the fear of God for the faithful is a good thing. So I want you to look for this as we go throughout this psalm tonight. Look for the goodness of the fear of God in this Psalm 128. Well, first, the blessed. The psalmist begins this short psalm, the Song of Ascents, with identification. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His way. Now, this verse is set forth in poetical parallelism. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You could read it or modify it in this way. Blessed or happy is everyone who fears the Lord. Blessed or happy is everyone who walks in His way. You could say it twice, but the psalmist chose not to. He's setting it in parallel, thus making fearing the Lord and doing His will equivalents of sort. All who fear the Lord will also do his will. In other words, those who are blessed of God are those who fear him, and those who fear the Lord are those who do his will. You see the connection between fearing and doing God's will. This particular group, then, those who fear God and do his will are blessed of the Lord. That's the truth. That's the simple precept that's set forth in this psalm. That's what the psalmist begins with. That's what this psalm is founded upon. And so in a sense, it's describing what it is to fear God, at least a portion of what it is to fear God before us. It leads us to keep his will. It's part and parcel of fearing God. And don't think that this is a unique passage or a unique song, for it's repeated in other parts of the Psalms and Proverbs. Indeed, the entire book of Psalms begins with this particular truth or idea. Look at Psalm 1. Well, you don't have to, but you certainly could. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. The psalmist puts it in the negative. Blessed is the man who doesn't do this. And so, if it's stated in the negative, we could also state it in the positive. Blessed is the man who does walk in the counsel of the righteous. And as Psalm 1 is the headline of sorts to all the entire book of Psalms, the Psalms do continue to open up this particular idea. Psalm 112, praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Or Psalm 119, the first verse in that longest of Psalms, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. You see the connection between blessing and doing God's will, between blessing and fearing God. They're all connected. It's almost a triangle of sorts. Blessing, fear, doing God's will. And as the Psalms are wisdom literature, we would consider it reasonable to find a similar truth in other portions of wisdom literature. What about Proverbs? Absolutely. Proverbs 8. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Finally, Solomon, in his book entitled Ecclesiastes, ends that book in this way with a command. The end of the matter, all has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. You see the repetition of this idea, this truth? It's repeated, and if it's repeated, it's emphasized. And if it's emphasized, it's important to God. And if it's important to God, it must be important to us tonight. We must pay attention. So I want you to first note that this blessing is bestowed upon all. It's universal. Now, not every single person, but blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Not just a few. Not just this tribe over here. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Not a subset of those who fear the Lord. All, everyone who fears and thus does his will, walking in his ways, is and will be blessed. The blessing is universal. No one's left out. Now, if you're thinking, I don't know, I'm not sure I've received that blessing, and you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I please continue to listen. Because as we go through this psalm, we're going to see how everyone who fears the Lord is blessed. We also see in this psalm that those who are blessed now, in the present. Look at, again, verse 1. Blessed is, a present tense verb, everyone who fears the Lord. I'd like to say, let's look at the Hebrew verb because it's in the present tense, but I can't because there's no Hebrew verb. There's no verb here in the Hebrew. If you were to translate the Hebrew word by word, it reads something like this: blessed or happiness, all the fearful of the Lord. In other words, all who fear the Lord are blessed, are happy. We have to insert the verb. It appears that the word blessed or happy comes first in the sentence because the emphasis lies there. And so it becomes a title of sorts. That if you are fearing God tonight and thus doing His will, then you've got this sign on your forehead that says blessed. That's me. I'm part of that group. That's the condition that I'm in because I'm fearing God. I'm falling into this category. He has placed me into it. That's my title tonight. I am blessed. I am happy because I fear God. It's a present condition. It's not something that we have to say, well, this is going to come at some point in time. God has got a plan for me, and at some point He's going to bless me. It hasn't been today. And that would be a misreading of this psalm. Because the psalmist is saying, if you're fearing God, if you're doing His will, meaning those are the same thing, you are blessed. Similar to what we read in Psalm 2. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, you perish in the way, for His wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. It's the same Hebrew construction. There's no verb there either. The psalmist is saying, that's who you are in Christ. You are blessed. But it's not just the present. Because you might be thinking, well, okay, I see that. When I first trusted in Christ, it was a great blessing. Yes, it was back then. But no, the psalmist is saying, not only a present condition, but it will also be a future condition. It's not a condition which passes away with time. The sense seems to be that this blessing will grow larger in time, more and more added to it. Look at verse 2. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. All future tense. You see, he's covering the entire field. You're in that category of the blessed ones, and then there will be coming in your future something for you to be looking forward to, additional blessings of God. And so we see this wonderful picture of current and future blessings as a result of fearing God and doing His will. That brings us to our second point. As the psalmist has identified who he's speaking of now and given us a bit of information, now we look at particular or individual blessings. We might want to ask ourselves, what are these blessings? And we have to begin by making a critical qualification. Please know that the psalmist is not saying that the one who keeps the commands of God saves himself from the wrath of God. That's not what he's saying. He's not talking about a works righteousness. The psalmist is not saying that the one who walks in the ways of God has no need or worry of the coming judgment because he was walking in the ways of God, because he was keeping God's law. No, the psalmist is saying something very different. The idea is that when a person does fear the Lord, truly, sincerely fearing God in a biblical way, he or she will strive then to keep His commands. That's the idea. It's the idea that was set forth by Paul and to the letter to those at Philippi. My beloved, as you have always obeyed, now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Keep on obeying. Keep on fearing God. You've been saved. You've confessed Christ. You are blessed. Now, continue. keep his commands. Strive because you're in Christ. It's the idea that out of this true biblical fear of God flows this desire, this longing to please your Father by keeping his commands. It's not that one is saved through the keeping of God's commands. No, Jesus Christ has done that. It's his perfect work that we rely upon. Not our fallible, sin-ridden, filthy works. But because one has been saved by trusting in the blood of Christ alone, he or she fears God, and out of this fear comes blessing, and that's the idea that stands behind the psalm. So now, what kind of blessings does he speak of? Look at verse 2. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. This is a broad brush, general blessing that the psalmist speaks of. And it's very similar to Moses' writing in Deuteronomy, as he writes of the blessings and curses, the blessings of obedience, the curses of disobedience. As he writes of the blessings of obedience, he writes, "Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, blessed shall be your basket, your kneading bowl, blessed shall you be when you come in, blessed shall you be when you go out." You see, Moses is writing about this universal, this broad brush blessings that the people could expect as a result of seeking to do God's will. The psalmist here seems to summarize all of that in one verse. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed. It shall be well with you. It's also set against the curses we read of in Deuteronomy 28. When the people would not, they would refuse to obey. What does Moses write? You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not enjoy its fruit. The psalmist here in Psalm 128 is writing of just the opposite. When you do obey, when you do fear God, when you walk in his ways, then you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. A general blessing. But then the psalmist drills down into very particular blessings. Look at verse 3 and 4. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall be the man who fears the Lord. He's writing of this increase within the family structure. He's writing of the great blessing of children. So much so that he is indicating that children will be like olive shoots around your table. Now, I don't know much about growing olive trees, but I understand that one thing that happens with these olive trees are these shoots that start coming out from the base, and you really can't stop them, and they're just prolific. It seems to be the idea. And those in Israel would have known of this thing because olives were a big deal. Children like shoots, just coming out, prolific. Your wife, a fruitful vine within your house. But I think we need to understand these blessings that are set forth here, these particular blessings as types of blessings, a picture set forth of magnificent blessings, blessings that you just dream of and you think that, would God so bless me in this way that my house would be filled? It's certainly of God that children are produced by and through his marriage ordinance. And this is nothing but the creative work of the living and true God. And it's a great blessing that he bestows upon Christian marriages. But we also know that there are Christian marriages that have not been blessed with children. There are many who have not been given the gift of children. And there are many who have been given the gift of singleness. Not all God-fearing men and women will be blessed with children. Does that mean that they've not been blessed of God? Even if they fear God, Does that mean that they can't be blessed? The answer must be no. And so I would understand this passage to be telling us or giving us a type of blessing. To see that there is a great blessing in children, and that this blessing, this greatness, this magnificence of blessing from God is for everyone. Maybe not in this particular way. But generally speaking, that as God blesses His people, that will be a wonderful situation. And so the picture is one telling the reader or the singer that God will bestow great blessings of various kinds upon those who fear Him and keep His commandments. And this, brothers and sisters, might be the greatest of all. The particular blessing of doing God's will. Have you thought of that? That there is a blessing in and of itself in doing God's will. There's much blessing in keeping God's commands. Think of those who are not tonight. Think of those who are not striving to keep God's will. These live in constant rebellion. They are constantly suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. They're using all of their energy to suppress the righteousness of God. They're in constant unrest. They're constantly seeking satisfaction from that which can provide no satisfaction at all, which cannot be found. As they're outside of Christ and they're constantly looking for that happiness which is described in this psalm, and they're unable to find it. Constantly living in turmoil. But you tonight, if you're fearing God and doing His will, in that alone you have received a great blessing. Jesus Christ referred to doing the will of God as His food. Just think of that picture tonight. The great blessing of a wonderful meal set before you. Enjoying the taste, the different textures, the fullness of your stomach, the smells, the sight of wonderfully prepared meal that satisfies not only the stomach but the palate, and all the senses are pleased with this fulfilling meal. That's the idea. Jesus Christ fed on doing the will of His Father. That's how Christ understood it. That's how Jesus lived, being blessed by doing the will of His Father. That's the great blessing of being an obedient son. As if you were sitting down to a delicacy upon delicacy, feasting upon the king's table. Do you see? This great particular blessing of every single child of God as they obey their heavenly Father. I think we can rest assured that the psalmist intended that, at least in part, for us tonight. Particular blessings, individual blessings. We receive them every single day as we fear God and keep His word. And finally, universal blessings or corporate blessings. As we saw Jesus' work this morning of healing as being global or universal from Matthew chapter 4, now here we see God's blessings flow universally or corporately. Look at verse 5. The Lord bless you from Zion. The idea seems to be that the Lord is able to bless you from His dwelling place, from Zion. He's not so far away that He's unable to reach you with His blessings. And so the song proclaims that truth. May God's blessings flow upon you from His dwelling place. May they reach you wherever you are. You think of those who were in exile singing this. I don't know if that actually happened. But if it did, they were outside of Jerusalem. They were outside of what they perceived as God's dwelling place. And they were singing to one another, "The Lord bless you from Zion." They're in exile. The Lord bless you from Zion. May they reach you wherever you are. May the Lord shower you with his blessedness, with his goodness from his home. A picture of a hospitable God. Think of that, inviting you into his home for that blessing. A Father who pours out blessing upon his beloved children. And so now, in addition to those particular or individual blessings, the song now speaks to congregational blessings. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Remember now the covenant promises of God. In Genesis 17, as he's entering into covenant with Abraham, he said, I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. Jerusalem, the city where the temple was built, the place of the throne, the place where God has set his name. And this blessing is causing the Israelites who were singing this one to another to remember this promise of land flowing with milk and honey, the promise of land which was more than able to sustain the people of God, giving them all that they needed to live a happy life, materially speaking, with God as their God. Like the Garden of Eden. All very good. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden. And there was gold there, and the gold of the land is good. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden and commanded the man, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden except the one. God blessed Adam. Everything he needed was right there. And that's the idea in this psalm. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life, not just one or two, not just a season, all the days. May you see God's promises unfold before your very eyes. It's the blessing of fearing God, the blessing of walking in his ways. And then verse 6, may you see your children's children, again recalling the covenant promises of God, that he would not be just a single nation, that God would make a multitude of nations come from Abraham, that he would make him exceedingly fruitful, that kings shall come from him, and that his covenant would be established, not only with Abraham, but between God and his offspring, Abraham's offspring, throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant. May you see your children's children. May you see God's promises flowing down from generation to generation. And then finally, he ends with this, peace be upon Israel. This final verse from the psalmist with regard to this universal, these corporate blessings, peace be upon Israel, the blessing of peace for all those who fear God, for all those who are walking in his way. The people of God were at war with God in their sin. Indeed, we are at war with God in our sins. And the greatest blessing that we can receive is peace with God, reconciliation, which only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. That rest, which is only available in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, for those Israelites who continued to murmur and grumble and complain and not follow the Lord, rebelled against him in the wilderness, they would not receive, they would not see his rest, they shall not enter his rest, but there is a rest. Rest for all those who fear God and walk in his ways, who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's peace. They were singing this one to another. Peace be upon Israel. Peace be upon the church. May Jesus Christ continue to reconcile us to our God. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Universal blessings for the church. Well, tonight I think we have to ask ourselves that question. How is it? How is it that we keep the law of God? How is it that we continue to fear this one? So that all these blessings would flow. Part of the answer is contained within the psalm itself. Indeed, it's an encouragement to endeavor after new obedience, part of repentance. And it's not only a direct encouragement, but it's also an indirect encouragement. Consider how the body of Christ is encouraged when we see members being blessed by God as they fear and obey Him. Remember, this was to be used by Israelites as they were headed up to Jerusalem for one or more feasts. It may have been used by those in exile as they were reminding themselves of how they used to go up. Either way, as they sung this song, it was a means of encouraging one another to fear God and keep His commandments. And as we see brothers and sisters doing this, we should be encouraged to do it ourselves. How do you think the saints at Philippi were encouraged as they read Paul's letter? As Paul wrote, in the joy of his obedience. Remember, he was wondering what to do. To be with Christ was better. But to remain on in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Paul was convinced of this, and he knew that I, meaning Paul, will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Do you see how Paul's obedience to God was an encouragement to these brothers and sisters at Philippi? He knew that this would act to cause the saints of Philippi to grow in their own fear and obedience toward God for your progress and joy in the faith. But I also want us to think about the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I want you to consider the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane tonight and remember His prayer to His Father three times, that the cup of God's wrath would pass away. It would be taken away from Him. As you think upon that passage, we should understand that Jesus did not want to suffer the separation that was coming as a result of having our sins laid upon Him. That He loved His Father so much to contemplate that separation was something that He could not bear, and so He prays repeatedly that the Father might take this cup from Him, that it might be removed. But we know that Jesus Christ submitted Himself completely to the will of His Father. He so desired that the will of God be done, that He aligned His will with that of His Father's. And so as we conclude Psalm 128 today, that is the core of this song. That the fear of God is equated with doing the will of the Father. That Jesus so feared God that He would lay down His own will and align it with His Father's. And if you've meditated upon that passage at all, you might have asked yourselves, how did Jesus do it? How would Jesus submit Himself wholly and completely, without reservation, contentedly, because He was sinless? And so it had to be contentedly. How could He do that? How could He submit Himself without reservation and in contentment with the will of His Father? And the answer must be because He feared God. And this is what we might mean by that. That Jesus knew that His Father could raise Him up. That Jesus knew that His Father could sustain Him through the pouring out of His wrath upon Him. That Jesus knew that even as if He felt as if He were abandoned on the cross, that His Father had not indeed abandoned Him on the cross, that His Father was yet with Him. That would be the fear of Jesus, leading Him to do the will of His Heavenly Father. His understanding, His knowing, His believing, and holding on to the eternal love that the Father has for the Son. Brothers and sisters, that's more than an example for us tonight. That is the idea of fear, of fearing God, a fear that leads you to do His will. As the Lord blesses all who serve Him in fear. The parable of the talents sets that out for us so very clearly. And we see the rewards given in that parable, and we know the rewards given to those who fear God and walk in His way are in glory. We are blessed today. We'll be blessed in the future. We'll be blessed by being with Christ. Amen. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You so much for this psalm. We thank You for the blessings that You pour out upon us. We thank You, Lord God, for giving us the fear of You, for allowing us, enabling us to walk in the ways of Christ. Father, we know we don't do it perfectly. We don't even get close. But we thank You for giving us hearts which seek to strive after You through Christ. Help us, Lord. Increase our fear. Help us to know all these things that we've discussed tonight. That You're a loving God, that You care for Your people, that You never release Your grip upon us. We thank You for Christ, and we pray all these things in His name. Amen.